As an employee-owned financial firm, Baird offers advice solely focused on clients' needs, while consistently investing in their expertise and capabilities to serve those in need. More information at baird-difference.com.
Our guest this afternoon is Dr. Jeff Hoswald, the superintendent of the MCCSC. Welcome aboard, my friend. How are you?
I'm good, Mike. Good to talk to you.
And I know you've a very, very busy meeting agenda. We even got a special visit from you a couple weeks ago because we missed you in March, and we had a spring break and all kinds of other things going on. But last time we spoke, we were talking about a new survey that you were putting out to parents about start times, which would help hopefully ease a transportation issue. None of this will start in this school year. I would guess that is one of the items on your list tonight.
That's right. One of the items for consideration is a change in our start times. And the reason is quite simple. We don't have enough bus drivers. So we are trying to adjust the routes to reflect the realistic number of drivers we have. So as an example, there's a lot of different ways we can improve transportation. So if you can imagine, one of those is increasing bus driver pay, which we have done and continue to do. One of those is route and run efficiency. That's so that our buses drive the routes that we have the least number of miles possible. That's a continuous conversation. One of them is reducing the number of buses we need. So we do that by adding tiers so that our buses basically drive three loops instead of two, thereby allowing us to have less number of buses needed.
So the long and short of it is the way that we've gone through the 2021-2022 school year does not meet the expectation, the standard that the MCCSC would like to put out there. That's what I take from this.
Yeah, and likely parents as well, right? I mean, rightfully so. Our parents are frustrated. Our buses are continuously late. They have to double back. We currently have a design for about 125, 130 routes. We don't have that many drivers, so we have a lot of routes that therefore we can't drive on time. So after we drop students off at a school, the bus driver may have to drive another route. And what that means is those students are getting to school late every day based on which bus they're on. And so we have a lot of lost instructional time. Our buses are not on a regular schedule. That's frustrating to families. And so we just have to reduce the number of buses we operate to a realistic number. Other districts are trying other things. There's just an article. There are some other districts in far southern Indiana that have just been canceling routes 2 days a week. That's not equitable for students that don't have another way to get to school. They count on our buses, and our families count on us. So we realize that we have no choice but to reduce the number of routes we drive and the number of bus drivers that are needed.
Now, when you had the survey and it was filled out, this has just been not even 2 weeks yet. What did you learn from that survey and the time adjustments? I know I don't want you to break any news here. You've got the meeting tonight.
No, it's fine. We learned that a lot of people would rather not move start times. And we get that, and I wouldn't either. I mean, 8 and 9, it's easy. It's been in place for a long time. And we didn't want to bias the people taking the survey by kind of saying, well, we have to do this or we have, you know. So we just kind of said, if we were to change times, would you rather change it up or back? And we kind of learned that more people would rather move it back than up. At the secondary level, people said, well, 15 minutes up if you have to move it up. And at the elementary, no more than 30 back. So that's kind of where we're landing there in a range. We know that in order to reduce the number of buses we operate to be more aligned with the number of drivers we have, we need to extend our times by 45 minutes. Otherwise, we can't add another loop. And if you think about it, Mike, if we operate 120 buses at our first tier and 120 buses at our second tier, if we go to three tiers, then we're sort of operating 80, 80, and 80. And this is an oversimplification. But what we're doing is we're adding another tier. Well, you can't do three pickup loops in the amount of time you normally do two pickup loops. So that's why we have to extend our hours by about 45 minutes. So by doing that, we hope to have the number of buses more realistically aligned to the number of drivers we have available. Now, on the positive side, taking some buses off the road will save some money. And in tonight's recommendation, we're also recommending that we take those savings and apply to our hourly, to the wages, the hourly wages of our bus drivers and our bus aides and our bus mechanics. So there is that as well. So we think that will also, by increasing our wages, we're already above the state average. Hopefully that will help attract additional drivers going forward.
Dr. Jeff Hoswald is the superintendent of the MCCSC school system, joining us here before the school board meeting tonight. Most months, it is the fourth Tuesday, and we'll get to the times and the location and all that coming up around the corner. Will this be revisited quarterly, annually, never again? Are you still looking for it? Well, I'm just trying to figure out if bus drivers just start coming out of the woodwork, are you doing this for this new system for the next year, 2 years? Is it like the calendar for people who are concerned about that that question? The answer would be.
That's a good question. I think that we will have an annual, we can annually revisit it. The extent that we do that, well, based on a lot of other factors. So we're going to take some of these savings and apply it to bus driver wages, right? So it doesn't mean that there won't be some improvements. If the efficiency is such that we are allowed to reduce the span by 5 or 10 minutes in a future school year, that's very likely. I know that some of the school districts in our area start at 7:30, the high schools, others start at 7:45. So, I mean, our start time that we anticipate adjusting to is really not that different than area schools, but it is different than what our families are used to. So if there's the possibility going forward that we have increased capacity and we can change our times to more closely align with the preferences of more of our parents and family members, that would be great. It's kind of like there's also a conversation out there about, would you like to switch high school and elementary start times? And that gets all kinds of passionate responses for people on both sides. And that, again, the new system would allow us to do that if that's something that the board and the community would like to consider in future years. I will tell you that there's we hear a lot of the brain development research, and we understand that. On the other side, there's a lot of arguments in terms of whether it's jobs, internships for our graduation pathways, and other factors. So there's definitely just like there's no perfect school calendar. I know there's no perfect school start time.
No, so, it's not even close.
No. So this slight adjustment is something that we have to do if we want to stop having all of these bus routes that don't have drivers, which is causing a lot of our students to get to school late. And we know that a disproportionate number of our students that ride the bus are economically disadvantaged, free reduced lunch status. And so it's an equitable thing to do. We really do have an obligation to fix this problem.
And it's not an easy problem to fix. Sometimes you just can't throw money at it. The one complaint maybe I've heard on the streets is, wow, it's only been 2 weeks. Why are we doing this right now, this very moment? And well, the simple response is you can't wait forever.
Well, the simple response, yes. And, we started having the problems in August, and you can remember at the time our families were really upset, and rightfully so, that we weren't able to get the students to school on time. So we started a review. We did a report. We sent letters out to families. We just started with a report. We purchased a technology package to implement for next year. We hired consultants. We started with the consultants. We started monthly meetings with our bus drivers to get input, to design a system. We had consultants write all the rides. So this is going throughout. In December, we did a public presentation to our public. And it was at our December meeting in which we said we're probably going to have to increase tiers. And this is why. This is what we face. This is how our wages relate to others. This is why wages alone won't fix this problem, in our professional opinions. And we went back in February and March met with the drivers again, got feedback from all of our classified staff members. And then, of course, we sent a poll out to our community members, knowing that we need to extend the times. We just said, what's your preference in which direction? We got that input. All the time, our consultants and our people working to design the systems told us that you got to make these changes by April so that we can start communicating with families in May and we can design and finalize the system. Because, you know, next year starts in like 3 months, Mike.
Yep.
So the answer is there's simply, I mean, people think that this has all happened at once, but the reality is this chain of events was set in motion really August 3rd, August 4th, 2021, and we've been steadily making progress towards where we are. So, approving it at a later date would be make it really difficult to start communicating with families this year, and we're not sure we could get the new system designed with all the details. So it's really a 9-month process, not a 2-week process.
Well, let me ask you a dumb question. That is my area of expertise on this program.
Wow, really?
Does this come up for a vote, or is this just what we're doing? Does the board vote on this?
We're going to ask the board to change the school start times. We don't know of any other options right now, other than students continually being late to school. There may be other worse options, like canceling routes on a regular basis, but this is the best option we feel we have right now if we want to provide equitable educational services to our students.
Dr. Jeff Heilswald is our guest this afternoon. The MCCSC school board meeting is tonight, 6:00. Is that right?
That's correct, 6:00. It's at the CoLab. That's 553 East Miller Drive. We're still meeting over at the location where we have just a little more space than the boardroom. I've actually never been to a board meeting in the old boardroom here.
Oh, there's room, just not as big as the CoLab. Right.
Yeah, it's a little more spread out. So for now, we're still over at the CoLab.
And you're not that is not the only busy thing going on as well. The referendum will not be on the May 3rd primary ballot. It will be on the November ballot, so I don't want anybody to get confused with that. We've been trying to do a good job of keeping everybody on the right page. Number one, before we get to the referendum, talking about the primary coming up a week from today, no school in the MCCSE, correct?
That's right, no school. Our secondary teachers have some in-services, but we do not have school on primary day, and of course we will not be open for school on Election Day, November 8th, 2022, which is the same date in which we'll have anticipated the MCCSC referendum question on the ballot.
Now, that question has been put together, your rates together, you've met with your consultant. That information is available, and you need to go to the website if people are concerned about that, because we've got, obviously, Mayor Hamilton. I'm going to talk to him in 40 minutes about everything in his his view of what needs to be raised, and we have the referendum that's going to come to an end that needs to go up and up and up, and away we go. That's all ready? Everything's there on paper?
No. And so we do appreciate, we've gotten a lot of feedback. We've had community focus groups. I've met with everyone from PTO to business leaders. And so we are in the process of shaping the specific rate as well as the ballot question. We anticipate it to be about 2 dimes, somewhere in that range. That will get formalized in the next month. And then go before a board vote on June 13th. So I think 2 dimes is what we're looking at. We are the 8th lowest school taxing district in the state of Indiana. Our base rate is 54 cents. With our current referendum rate, we're at 63 cents. Interestingly, the average rate in Indiana is $1.10. So we are significantly below that. We're a very, very low tax rate school district. So we're proud of that. I know that you can, of course, ask the mayor if he supports the referendum. That's a great question. He's a big supporter of MCCSC schools. We've just had a lot of great feedback from staff members and from principals and from our parents and family members, as well as community leaders. So the 2 dimes that we're probably going to ask for is simply going towards wages. And, you know, as we've talked about earlier, if we can increase our bus driver service, our bus driver wages, our food service worker wages, our teacher wages, we can attract more candidates, fill the vacancies we have. And we can also retain a lot of those outstanding staff members. So it's not enough, but we're trying to keep our rate as low as possible and meeting our minimal needs to continue. Remember, we're recently ranked 13th out of 290 school districts in Indiana. We're above average in graduation rates, all academic performance indicators. You know, MCCSE knocks it out of the park, and we want to reward and recognize our good teachers and staff members for the work they do.
And you have, where did I see that? You have meetings that are coming up if people would like to get involved. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. That's right. We have upcoming community meetings on the referendum. We're going to go through how we spend the money, what it means for the rate. We will be having a personal rate calculator that people can enter their information to know exactly what their rate would be. We'll be putting that on our website. We already have a information on our website about the referendum, but we have community members. That's also on our website. May 9th, 10th, and 12th, we'll be having a series of six community forums where we can provide anyone that's interested additional information about the referendum.
And that'll be plenty of it, and it will be at multiple places, the University,
right.
Tri-North,
over.
Binford, Jackson Creek, Summit, and the CoLab. So you have multiple places where you can pick up this information. Go to mccse.edu, and you will be able to see all of the great things that are going on. Speaking of great things, you had some students honored for personal achievements and had some help from the Foundation of the Monroe County Community Schools, honoring 20 students at the Personal Achievement Banquet. I bet that was a fun day, wasn't it? Because you were passing out some cash, doing some other fun stuff. That's always great.
That's right. And I mean, after dinner, I mean, so these students, they get nominated from teachers, from principals. So not only are the students there with their families, but their mentors, their teachers, their principals are there. And they get up, and for each of them, they go through and they celebrate their successes. They talk about their amazing qualities, the ways they've persevered, how they excel at school, how they're just natural leaders, some of their future aspirations. I mean, it is just fantastic. You just sit there and you listen to 20 stories that remind us that we're in good hands, and that the future is bright. It was just a wonderful event. And you know, Mike, also in addition to celebrating our student successes at the foundation event last week, on May 5th, we have our Evening of Stars. And this is an event we have every year in which we recognize what we call Stars of Excellence. We recognize 40 staff members that get nominated by other staff members, as well as all of our retirees for the 2021-22 school year. It's a big event. It's at the Convention Center. It's May 5th. And, you know, I know that Dr. Mobley and Ms. Judy Rush and the human resource staff have been working really hard to put that together. And that's next Thursday, and I'm getting excited about that.
You should be excited about that. It's a great celebration for all the people that are doing fantastic things in the school district. It's meeting night tonight. Now, this is the fourth Tuesday in April. I don't want to dismiss tonight's meeting because it's very important. We're going to switch things up in May because of the end of school. In June, I heard you say June 13th. That's different as well. So if we want to look at the calendar, I bet you have that posted online, yes?
We do. Now, the May calendar is really not too different. We're still the fourth Tuesday in May. In June, we will have an end of June meeting. However, June 13th will be a special meeting.
Aha.
In which we will only consider the referendum. Yeah, that's sort of the difference. So if you think about May 24th is our regular board meeting, that will still take place on Tuesday, May 24th. Our last student day is Tuesday, May 20th. You could ask any student or teacher, they probably will tell you that. But May 24th is our regular May meeting, but then we have a special meeting in June to consider the referendum. It will be a quick meeting. It's just where they vote to decide if they want to have one. That is currently scheduled for Monday, June 13th. And then later in June, of course, our regular board meeting is still scheduled for the fourth Tuesday, and that's Tuesday, June 28th. So, you know, a pretty regular fourth meeting schedule for May and June, but we will have a special meeting to consider whether we want to proceed with the referendum. The answer is yes, but they have to formally vote on that.
Gotcha. I knew there was a perfectly logical explanation for all of this. Anything else on tonight's agenda? That sounds like, well, the rest of it's no big deal. If not, I'm not surprised. Or do we have it all covered?
Well, we are formalizing some of our course fees and our standard fees, learning fees. Those are all pretty similar from last year. We're also going to make a recommendation to appoint the new principal of our adult learning program, Mr. Rob Moore. Has announced his retirement. Rob's done an amazing
Yeah, he was
work.
On with us last week.
I know, and that's why. And we just got a national award. We're celebrating that. I mean, he's fantastic. And I said, you got all these major accolades and accomplishments and awards. Why retire now? And you know, Rob just looked at me and reminded me that
30 years.
You know,
that's why.
Well, he said it's one thing, you know, you guys can't control. No, he didn't say that. He's awesome. So I'm glad that he hopped on the call last week. But we're replacing his. Of course, we're naming the new director of adult learning. Also, we have our new principal of the Academy of Science and Entrepreneurship. That position, of course, Alexis is coming over. Harmon's coming over to our office to be the director of technology. So we've got those two appointments tonight. So pretty soon, we've got lots of administrative vacancies to fill. But other than that, it's a pretty standard agenda.
Yep, and we get to this time of the year, and the carousel starts to spin and spin again. Remind everybody what time and, well, what bat time, what bat channel, where should everyone go tonight to be a part of the action for the MCCSC board meeting?
The meeting is still at 6 o'clock. It's over at the CoLab. That's 553 East Miller Drive. So really, same bat time, same bat channel.
Very cool. And are you guys still putting that on the old internet for folks to see as well?
We are.
Great.
We are.
So if you can't make it, if you can't make it either, you can watch it a little bit later in the evening whenever you get home from one. It's 58 and sunny. Let's get outside.
That's right. It's awful nice. Who wants to be inside or watching TV? But yeah, it is, and the link is available on our website under the board information tab. And I do have one more celebration, if I may.
Oh, good.
We MCCSC has been working on paths to quality certification for our 12 preschools for over 5 years, and we just all reached level 4. It's the highest level ranking in the state. Only 17% of early childhood learning centers are level 4, so that puts us in the top 17%. So we're just real proud of that. In Indiana, it's even a lower ranking. But all 12 of our early childhood learning centers now are level 4. It's the highest level of accreditation. And, you know, we have outstanding preschool early childhood learning programs, and we're just real proud of them. And they're at full capacity, and the reason is they're just that good. And I want to give a shout-out to them, if I may.
Bravo. Excellent job for everybody. And, again, that just doesn't happen by filling out a form. You have to.
That's exactly right.
Right. It's a little bit more difficult than just saying, here's a gold star for you and a trophy for you. No. Excellent. I'll let you get ready for your meeting tonight. I appreciate you popping in twice in April. Do not be a stranger next month. Pretty please. And MCCSC.edu.
And you can go and take the rest of the day off. Because
I appreciate
this is your most important interview, and you can tell the mayor that.
I will do so. And maybe I'll just go down to his office. It's nice outside. We'll drag a wire and just sit outside and do the interview that way. I would like to be outside today, but sometimes we have to tough it out. And
I've been told that myself.
That's it. Get your suntan lotion. Be ready for it, and we'll talk to you next month, buddy. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Mike. Keep up the good work.
Thank you.